to read throughout the week and do your own commentary. I mean, you're all Bible scholars, right?
Yes.
Yes, you are. Yeah, you're Bible scholars, every one of you. And I'm going to give you something in the book of Zechariah to take home with you this coming week to read and determine what it means. Matter of fact, I'm going to do it right now. So hold your place in Revelation. Turn over to Zechariah chapter 5. Being that we're all Bible scholars, we're going to do this together because I don't understand it. There's a lot of things I don't understand, and this is just one of them. Zechariah chapter 5, if you will. In verse 5, I want you to take this home with you throughout the week and read it and study it and compare it to other verses in the Bible, and you're going to be a preacher, right? And you're going to get up before some people and you're going to explain what this means. Or maybe you're going to teach a Sunday school class, or maybe you're going to teach, maybe you're going to talk, somebody's going to ask you about it. What does that mean? In Zechariah chapter 5, verse 5. Then the angel who talked with me went forth and said unto me, Lift up now thine eyes and see what is this that goeth forth. The angel came to Zechariah and said, I'm going to show you something. Tell me what it means. That's what he said. And I said, What is it? And he said, This is an ephah called ephah. In the Hebrew, that goeth forth. An ephah or ephah is a measure. It's simply a measure. A measure of wheat, a measure of barley, a measure of money. It's simply a measure. It's that simple. So remember that. You should be writing this down because you're going to do a study on it next week, right? No, you're not. No, you're not. It'd be a good idea if you did. I mean, I'm suggesting that you do, but you probably won't. So write this down. Ephah is simply a measure. He said, Moreover, this is their resemblance through all the earth. So this is what the measure is, their resemblance. You follow me now? And then he explains it to it in verse 7. And behold, there was lifted up a talent of lead. A talent is simply a barter system. Now, talent was money, but it's a barter system. And it was lead, a talent of lead. Let me ask you something. When you go to the store, you go to Walmart or Giant Eagle or wherever you go, Big Bird, Giant Eagle, and you spend money, how much lead do you have in your pocket to spend? It doesn't work, does it? No, you can't spend lead. And this is a woman that sitteth in the midst of the ephah. So you got a talent of lead and a woman that sitteth in the midst of the measure. Remember the word measure. So you've got one woman here. Are you following me now? Write all this down. You got one woman here that sits in the middle of the measure. She sits in the middle of the measure. And in the middle of the measure is a talent of lead. In other words, that's what the measure is producing, the barter. That's what it's going to produce, a talent of lead. You follow me now? And then he said in verse 8, now remember what we've seen. We've seen the talent, the ephah, which is the measure. That's what it measures, worth about a talent. And he said, This is wickedness. And he cast it into the midst of the ephah, and he cast the weight of lead upon the mouth of it. First of all, he said, This is wickedness. So is it godly? What's going on here?
No.
No, it's wickedness. And we saw one woman, right? Then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, there came out two women. Well, this is pretty confusing, isn't it? And the wind was in their wings, and they had wings like the wings of a stork. And they lifted up the ephah between the earth and the heaven. In other words, it wasn't really earthly, and it wasn't really heavenly. Then said I to the angel who talked with me, Whence do these bear the epaph? And he said unto me, To build for it a house in the land of Shinar, and it shall be established and set there upon its own base, foundation. Let me ask you something. What in the heck does all of this mean?
Getting ready to build a Tower of Babel in Babylon, which is Shinar.
That's good. So far, that's good so far.
But that concerns the wheat and the tare, and the government's trying to control your food.
That's pretty good.
Whatever you
government
buy.
Control.
That's pretty good. Now, before you go any further, get yourself in some hot water here. Let me ask you a question. Who is the first woman? You got a woman. As long as we're going to, well, we might as well forget. I'll tell you what. Let's forget the study I was going to do and let's stick with this. As long as we're on a roll, okay?
Let's do it.
All right. I was going to have, who is the first woman in verse 7? Now, Arthur was right. Arthur was absolutely right. We're looking at
Babylon.
Shinar, right?
Yeah.
Or Shinar, however you want to pronounce it. I don't care. Call it anything you like. But it's Babylon. Linda.
Is it? The woman representing false religion?
It does. Yes, you're doing good. They're doing good. Now we need to know, as long as we're on all this here, you started it, I didn't.
It will be the beginning of the Antichrist and the New World Order.
Okay, now we're getting somewhere. We're really doing good. Okay, now don't say anything for just a minute. I got to do something here. I'm going to erase this stuff. Okay, longer. I don't want to raise it. I'll just put it down here. We're living in what? Okay?
Church age.
Very good. So we draw that in a little circle here, right?
Yep.
Because the Old Testament, this is important, the Old Testament prophets couldn't see the church age, right? They could see the cross and the death and burial and resurrection of Christ. But they couldn't see the church age or the rapture. Okay, follow me? But what could the Old Testament prophets see?
Right after the
future.
Everything after the rapture, right?
Yep.
So they could see all of this. So, now, with that in mind, what was Zechariah looking at? In Zechariah chapter 5, it was either...
Beginning of the 7-year tribulation.
Yes. Okay. Good. It was either Old Testament prophecy or prophecy after the church, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Let's go back here and look at this if you will. Verse 6, rather. And I said, what is it? Zechariah didn't quite understand it. Which is okay, isn't it? That's understandable. And I said, what is it? Zechariah said, what is it? The angel said, this is an epaph, a measure that goeth forth. A measure that goeth forth. Well, think about that. Explain to me what that means. And, while you're at it, explain to me what the woman, the first woman is. The first woman. And... you say, well, I don't know. Well, let's go to Revelation chapter 17, if you will. Actually, chapter 14, verse 8. Revelation, if you will. Revelation chapter 14, verse 8. Now, remember something. I want you to pay attention, okay? You cannot hardly... there are many times when you can't explain the Bible just by reading these verses without going to the rest of the Bible and putting the pieces together. You follow me?
Absolutely.
That's why God says, study to show thyself approved. What do you study? The whole Bible. The whole thing fits together. So that's what we're going to do. So you can't read these verses and just understand it without knowing a lot more about what's going on. But you do need to know that the Old Testament prophets couldn't see the church age, so Zechariah had to be talking about something else, and the only thing he could have been talking about in these verses is things that took place after the church age. So anyway, Revelation chapter 14, verse 8. Now, remember what Art said. It's Babylon, out of the land of Shinar. Okay? That's excellent. Verse 8, and there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all the nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And then turn just right in your Bible here, in verse 19. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of, in Revelation chapter 16, verse 19.
Oh,
what did I say?
You said verse 19.
Okay. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Chapter 17, Revelation. And there came one of the seven angels who had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, Come here. I will show unto thee the judgment of the great harlot that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth, and so forth. Verse 3. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy. Verse 4, and the woman was arrayed in purple and purple. Verse 5, mystery of Babylon, the mother of harlots. Now then, turn back to Zechariah. Remember all of what we just read in Revelation, by the way. We're going to get back to this Revelation in the future sometime or other. Verse 6, Zechariah chapter 5, and I said, what is it? And he said, this is an ephah, a measure. This is what they've earned. This is what they've measured for themselves, an ephah. And he said, moreover, this is their resemblance through all the earth. What did we just read in Revelation? What did we just read? Let me go back and read that one more time, one verse here. In verse 2, chapter 17. The judgment, the heart of that sit upon many waters. The waters is the earth. People.
Yep.
That's what the waters are. People. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, the Bible tells me that in chapter 17, verse 15. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the harlot, the whore sitteth, are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. Very simple, isn't it? The Bible explains the Bible.
Yeah.
And then he said, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk, and so forth. Back to Zechariah, if you will. This is, the verse 6, last half, this is their resemblance through all the earth. And behold, there was lifted up a talent of lead. In other words, it's not gold, it's not silver, it's not copper, it's just lead. And this is a woman that sitteth in the midst of the measure. Who's the woman?
False religion.
Babylon. Very good. You guys are Bible scholars. Verse 8 in Zechariah, okay? And he said, this is wickedness. And he cast it into the midst of the measure and cast the weight of the lead upon it, the mouth of it. In other words, this wickedness, false religion, Babylon, this is what she has earned. And everybody who follows her, this is what they have earned. Then lifted I up my eyes and looked, and behold, there came out two women. Who? Now, wait a minute. How can we go from one woman to two women? It's getting a little deep, isn't it? Getting a little deep. But in Revelation, Babylon is considered a woman, right? But now we have two women. And the wind was in their wings, and they had wings like the wings of a stork. And they lifted up the ephah between the earth and the heaven. Then said I to the angel who talked with me, whence or where do these bear the ephah? And he said unto me, to build for it a house in the land of Shinar, and it shall be established and set there upon its own base. That means foundation. So let's boil all this down. Shinar, which is Babylon. By the way, Let's prove that. Hold your place in Zechariah, and let's go all the way back to Genesis chapter 10, if you will. I don't know why I did all this. I was supposed to let you guys do it, but you're doing good. Genesis chapter 10, and then we'll go to chapter 11, if you will. Verse 8, Genesis chapter 10, verse 8. And Cush, are you there yet?
Yes.
Good. And Cush begot Nimrod. He began to be a mighty hunter in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord, should be against the Lord properly. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod the mighty hunter before or against the Lord. Let me ask you something. What is a mighty hunter against the Lord?
Nothing.
Huh?
He's nothing.
He's nothing. False religion. He's a liar. He's the guy that says you can't be saved by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to repent of your sin. You've got to confess to a priest. You've got to pray to the Virgin Mary. You've got to do this. You've got to get baptized. He's the liar against the Lord. Yes.
Wasn't Nimrod the world's first dictator or whatever?
Yes.
How they say that?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, like a...
Yeah. He was a mighty hunter against the Lord. What did he hunt? Souls. He's a type of Satan. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, which is Babylon, and Erech, and Akkad, and Calna in the land of Shinar. Now notice the next few words. Out of that land went forth. And look at all the names. Out of that land went forth. What was it that went forth out of that land?
False religion.
False religion. Yeah, now hold your place. We're going to come back here to Genesis. We're running out of time. Go back to Zechariah, if you will. Verse 11, chapter 5 here. And he said unto me, to build for it a house, not the house of God, in the land of Shinar, and it shall be established and set there upon its own base, its own foundation, which is false religion.
That's the Antichrist.
Yes, very good. Now then, chapter 11 in Genesis, and then we'll get back to Zechariah. Now remember that God said, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. Remember God told that. When Noah got off the Bayliner, after the water went down, he said, go replenish the earth. But look what happened. In chapter 11, verse 1 and 2. And the whole earth was of one language and one speech, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of where? Shinar. And they dwelt there. And they said one to another, come, or go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone. And then in verse 4, and they said, go to, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Oh, didn't God tell them to replenish the earth?
Yep.
Yeah. And Nimrod said, no, we don't want to do that. We want to band together. We want to build our own city, our own religion against God. And that's where Babylon began. False religion. And then God came down and confounded their language. That reminds me of a Pentecostal church. You got all these people speaking in a language that nobody understands. A bunch of babbling idiots. And we have the beginning of Babylon. Now back to Zechariah, if you will. And then we will try to explain. I'll give you my interpretation of the two women. Now, everything else makes sense so far, right? Everything, if there doesn't, raise your hand, let me know. Everything else makes sense so far, right?
Yes.
Except the two women. Who are they?
False prophet and the Antichrist.
I think it's more than that. It is false prophecy, but the two women have a meaning, and I think. Now, you have the false prophet and the Antichrist, which will be revealed during this the seven-year tribulation. He's absolutely right about that. But if we began with one woman, and now we have two, and this is complicated. But I'm going to give you my interpretation. And then during the week, I want you to do your own study and determine if you think it's right. The first woman represents Israel, who fouled up God's word, and now Israel has been put on the shelf. Where's Israel today? They're over there in that little land called Israel, which circles around Jerusalem, and they're being bombarded from all sides, from the news media, from all governments, all politicians, everybody bombards Israel. That's the first woman. Why? She has it coming. Because she disobeyed God. She fouled up his Bible. She fouled up the gospel. You have it coming, Israel. The second woman is the church. The church. You fouled it up, church. Do you ever watch television?
No.
Do you ever watch a spiritual channel? We're going to next Friday, I think we're going to show a movie called Left Behind. It's a pretty good movie, but it's sure full of false religion. And before we show the movie, I'm going to get up in front of people and say, you're going to see this, but it's wrong. I'm going to take about 5 minutes and explain what they're looking at. Because in the movie, they have the attack on Israel before the rapture. That's wrong. Makes a good movie, but it's wrong. And then throughout the movie, you'll hear things like, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you'll hear things, repent, ask Jesus into your heart, do this, do that. That's all a lie. So the second woman is the so-called church that has the gospel all fouled up. You have two women in the gospel. Two women. You have Israel and the church. And that's my interpretation. Notice, if you will. And the angel, I said to him, where do these bear the ephah? What they've earned, their wages, their measure, where do they bear it? And he said, they take it back to Shinar, the foundation of false religion, which is man working against God. Man against God.
They believe in works and righteousness, and you can't work your way to heaven.
You cannot earn your way to heaven.
Nope.
But man likes to think so, doesn't he? Man likes to think, well, I'm going to do something, and then God will be happy with me, and then I'll get into heaven.
Don't work that way.
Doesn't work. It does not work. Let me show you one example of why that doesn't work, and then we'll be out of time. What time is it? We got another hour yet.
Yeah.
Romans chapter 4. And then we'll close with this. In Romans chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. What shall we say then? That Abraham our father is pertaining to the flesh hath found. For if Abraham were justified by works, he have something of which to glory, but not before God. Hang it up. You cannot earn your way to heaven. You can't work your way to heaven. You will never make it by your good works. You can be water baptized until you've drowned everyone in your family, and you'll still not go to heaven. As Mac Jones say, till the frogs memorize your social security number. That's what he always said. But you know what? Nothing will get you into heaven except faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, because it goes on to say that Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Let me show you what Abraham believed. And everything else is false religion. By the way, did you understand that in Zechariah?
Yes.
That's wonderful. I don't. You'll have to explain it to me one of these days. But anyway, this is what the Bible says, so pay attention. I didn't bring my fiery wallet because I forgot to load it. Didn't put any ammunition in it. But the Bible says we're all sinners, right? I'm a sinner. This represents my sin. The Bible says, for Christ died on the cross, was buried, and rose again. That's the gospel. For the forgiveness of sin. Read Acts chapter 10 and Acts chapter 13. Christ died on the cross, was buried, and rose again. And the Bible says all I have to do is believe it. How simple can you get? For God so loved the world, that's me, you, that he gave his only begotten Son, that's Jesus Christ, that if you, whosoever, believeth in him, shall never perish but have everlasting life. He takes my sin, marks it paid to his account. I have eternal life. You can't get to heaven by doing anything. If you think you can, it's called Babylon.
But Dan, it's too easy to get to heaven. What else do I got to do?
I know it. You'll have to do something. We'll come up with something next week. We're going to get religious next week. Yeah. No, we're not. That means I'll have to get religious, and that's impossible. But anyway, isn't that simple? All you have to do is believe Christ died on the cross for your sin. How simple can you get? You know how many people I tell that to, and they say, well, that's easy. Yes, it is.
That's why God made it easy, because we're simple minds.
Yeah, simple minds. Yeah, like your old preacher. That's why it had to be easy.
And old Dandy over
here. Yep. Anyhow, if you're here this morning and you don't know you're going to heaven when you die, just before we close, just between you and the Lord, say, Lord, I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And then thank him for it. And that's all you have to do. Lord, I believe it. Make it personal. When you make it personal, you say, Lord, I believe you died for me personally. And it's that simple, isn't it? Let's have a word of prayer, if you will, and we will close this morning. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for Christ. He died on the cross, paid for our sin. And then he gave us something called the Bible. He expects us to read it, study it, learn it, understand it. It's really not that difficult if you just accept the truth. It's pretty easy when you just accept the truth. And dear Lord, we thank you. We ask you to bless those that are gathered here this morning throughout the coming week. In Christ's name, amen. Okie dokie. Let's see here. 398. I told you we'd be on Revelation for a long time. And it's going to be even longer than I thought.
Dan, we can talk about that all the time.
I know.
It won't bother me a bit.
Wouldn't bother me either, but...
Until the cows come home.
Yeah. But, you know, when you have a harsh gospel, you run people off. You got to be careful. You one verse.
398?
Yeah, as soon as I make a change here, I keep forgetting it.
Change.